Shkalim, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Vav, 4-6. In the previous mission, we began to go off topic of Shkalim and talk about how to deal with the Ketores that was left over and the process of sort of de-consecrating and then re-consecrating it with the New Year's Shkalim. So we're really following the same thought and theme here, but we're talking about a new case, and this case actually will be the setup for the next several Mishnayos, where a person is hamakdish nechasav, a person consecrates his property. Let's say a person gives his entire estate or whatever, the contents of this room, it doesn't make a difference. V'hayu behen dvarm ru'uyin lekarbonos hatzibur. Amongst the various things that he consecrates, meaning he's makdish, he gives the base of mikdash, are items that are, I'll translate literally here, are fitting to serve as korbanos hatzibur, things that can be offered on behalf of the community. I'll come back to that specific point in a minute. But the idea in general is this, that when a person consecrates something, he can kind of do it in two basic ways. Either he can invest it with what's referred to as kedushas mamon, financial sanctity, if you will. That's what I translate more typically as extrinsic kedusha. So it's not that when I have my pen and I want to give it to the base of mikdash and I makdish it, I consecrate it, so the pen is now invested with kedusha and it belongs to the base of mikdash, but the kedusha is called kedushas mamon. It's the value of the pen. The pen is put to in a category called bedek habayis for the purpose of the upkeep of the base of mikdash, and therefore what the base of mikdash will do is, since either they need a pen for their guest book and they'll use the pen as is, or they have no use for a pen, they have 100 pens already, so then they will monetize the pen. They'll put it up on their eBay website and they will sell the pen, and then with the proceeds that they receive, so the pen becomes deconsecrated and the kedusha that was invested in the pen now is invested in the money which was received for the purchase of the pen. So the pen then goes out to Chulin and someone else can use the pen for his whatever purpose he wants, and the value of the pen then is now what ends up in the hands of the base of English to use as it see fit. The other category instead of kedushas mamon is called kedushas haguf, in intrinsic sanctification, and that is where something is in of itself consecrated and under normal circumstances can't be deconsecrated. It's not just about the value. And here we're talking about the first category. So that means a person is saying, all my stuff I want to go to the base of mikdash so they can do with it as they see fit, meaning bedek habayis. And the basic assumption is that they will either make use of the objects if they have use for them, or they'll just monetize them and take the value. The thing is, there's a separate rule all to itself. And the rule is, if someone is makdish an item, and that item is eligible to go on the mizbeach, it can go on the altar, so then the rule is, it has to end up on the altar. We don't want it to get, it's inappropriate that someone that could have ended up on the altar doesn't get there, even though we're not talking about kedushas haguf, we're talking about someone which is kedushas bedek habayit, but still, it's got to end up on the altar. And the truth is actually, we'll get more into the next couple of Mishnayos, there's actually an Isser from the Torah to say consecrate a cow or goat or sheep or something to be for bedek habayis. It should be set as a korban. But if a person does do that, so then we'll deal with the problems. Now, the way that our Mishnah is set out, it sounds like, on first blush, we're talking about anything that could be for korbanos sibur. It sounds like cows, goats, and sheep, as well as oil and flour and wine, as well as incense. Now, the Bar Tanura does say that it comes to include both incense as well as wine, oil, and flour. However, many object strongly to that. It seems to fly in the face of the Gemara and Krisus. It also seems to be redundant, in as much as the next two Mishnayos will deal with animals and flour, oil, and wine, or what to do with them. So therefore, the Bar Tanura notwithstanding, most understand that the Pshat of our Mishnah here is specifically where there are ingredients that could be used in the estate, and those ingredients that are in the estate that could be used for the making of the incense in the base of Mikdash, one of those 11 ingredients. And that's why it's actually referred to over here as Devarim Ru'uyin LeKarbonos HaTzibur. It's specifically Karbonos HaTzibur because while all the other items I listed, like the animals and the flour and oil and wine, could be used as carbonos tzibur, they could also be used for private offerings, not just for communal offerings. In contrast, incense only can be used in carbonos tzibur in the communal setting. There's no such thing as a private incense offering. So that being the case, so the simple understanding here, Bartonar understanding, is a person has an estate or some contents he sanctifies it all with Bedek Abayis. Included in it are ingredients that could be used for the making of the incense, which could end up in the altar, meaning the altar, the inner altar, the Mizbech HaPanimi, the golden altar and the Kodesh. And therefore, we want to follow the rule of ensuring that these ingredients end up on the altar. But they're not incense, not even consecrated with the Kedusha of incense, but we still have to engineer a way that they end up on the altar. So what we're going to do is something kind of similar to the previous Mishnah, or perhaps according to Ben Azai and the Halacha, essentially like the previous Mishnah. We're going to find a way to invest that, to deconsecrate this incense ingredient, and then reconsecrate it with the Kedusha that we need of this year's Machsa Shekel to be eligible to be used as korban tzibur. So, the first shita is shita of Rabbi Akiva, and he says the process is actually a lot simpler than the process of the previous Mishnah. We can simply give this incense ingredient to the artisans who make the incense in the Beis Hamikdash as their wage, because that's what normal Bedek Abayis is put to, whatever financial needs you have in the Beis Hamikdash, including paying wages, for argument's sake. And that in and of itself will deconsecrate it. And as Rabbi Akiva holds, that when it comes that the paying of wages to these in the Beis Hamikdash for the upkeep and functioning of the Beis Hamikdash is an act in and of itself which will deconsecrate something which is Kedushas Berek Abayis. That's a chiddush, a big chiddush. But anyways, that's what Rabbi Akiva holds. And therefore he says simply you have a two-step process. Step one, yinatnu la'umnin b'secharan. You will give that ingredient that was received as part of the estate when it was consecrated to the workers, the umnin, the artisans who make the incense, as their wage. That deconsecrates it, and now they're just holding with these spices in their hands. And then, although it's not spoken out here in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva also holds that you'll then repurchase them, those ingredients, from the workers with Machsa Shekel money from this year's batch. This is Truma of Machsa Shekel. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Amarlo Ben Azai says, no, Eino Hi Hamida, that's not the rubric, that's not the game plan, that's not the way it applies. You can't just simply deconsecrate these spices by giving them as wages, even if they're wages for artisans in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Akiva's limud from a pasuk, Vasli Mikdash, he rejects it. And therefore he says, Ella, rather the process is really the same as the process of the previous Mishnah. Step one of the four-step process is mafrishin mehen schar ha'umnin. You separate from it the wages of the workers. The it here, like the previous Mishnah, is from the coins, machsa shekel coins. So first you take coins, you separate them for the wages and designate them as the wages of the Beis Hamikdash, and that will deconsecrate the coins. Okay, so in contrast, Rabbi Akiva says you don't even need that step, and some actually learn Rabbi Akiva rejects that in the previous Mishnah also, but either way, Ben Azai says, well, it can work for the machsa shekel coins because when they were collected, it was conditional that they'd be able to deconsecrate them in such a way. Not true when the spices were invested with the Kedusha to just pay them as wages. That's not good enough to deconsecrate the spices, says Ben Azai. And therefore, step one, separate coins, designate them to be wages that will deconsecrate them, and now they're unconsecrated coins. Second step is umachalinosan al ma'osa umnin. Second of all, you take the spices that are carrying Bedek Habayis Kedusha, Kedusha's Mammon, and you will deconsecrate them onto the coins that you selected from the Machsa Shekel. Now, step three, you have deconsecrated spices, you've removed the Kedusha's Mammon from them. Venosin osan le'umnin b'scharan, you'll now use these deconsecrated spices to pay the wages of the artisans. And finally, v'chozrin v'lokhin osan metruma chadasha, and then you'll use coins from this year's Truma, from this year's Machsa Shekel, to purchase those ingredients from the umanim, the workers, the artisans in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they're invested with the proper Kedusha, as every Korban HaSibur ingredient has to be, from the Machsa Shekel, and you've created a way now where you have essentially recycled these incense ingredients, but they'll end up back on the Mizbeach, and with the proper Kedusha of Machzah Shekel for Korban Sibor, as opposed to the private Kedusha invested by an individual of Berech Abayas. Halacha is like Ben Azai, so you need the full four-step process.